The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Since it was the preparation day, in order that the bodies might not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath day of that week was a solemn one, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs be broken and they be taken down. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and then of the other one who were crucified with Jesus. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs, but one soldier thrust his lance into his side, and immediately blood and water flowed out. An eyewitness has testified, and his testimony is true. He knows that he is speaking the truth, so that you also may come to believe. For this happened so that the scripture passage might be fulfilled. Not a bone of it will be broken. And again, another passage says, they will look upon him whom they have pierced. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
Okay, so once again, good afternoon, brothers and sisters. So if you ever get to go to St. Peter's in Rome, you want to go up by the altar. It's magnificent, enormous statues there. They're like 15 feet tall. They're all carved by Bernini. And one in particular to take a look at is this carving of the soldier who pierced our Lord's side with a lance. Got all these other people up there, but there's that soldier who pierced our Lord's side with a lance. What's he doing up there? Well, you know, there's a beautiful story about what happened after he pierced our Lord's side with a lance. And you know, like the scriptures say, the blood and the water gushed forth. According to tradition, that blood and that water splashed across his eyes and immediately healed him of an illness and cured his vision. That soldier has a name. His name is Longinus, and he went on to become a priest and a martyr and a canonized saint. But from that little story now, I want you to take what I consider to be a very important lesson. And that is, namely, when you draw close to our Lord's cross, and by that I mean that you embrace the sufferings of life, the ones that come involuntarily, you embrace those in faith, and out of love, we embrace voluntary sacrifices for one another, two things happen. Number one, we are healed. And number two, we are given vision. Number one, we are healed. Plenty wrong with each and every last one of us here in this church here this morning. And the process of holiness, this is something that's done to you. It's not external. It's something for which you have to cooperate. And our Lord sets straight what's wrong and reveals to us the creature he always created and had in mind for before the foundation of the world. And secondly, we're given vision. We're finally able to see the love of Christ. And that's what today's feast day is all about. Here's the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, which always falls on the Friday after Corpus Christi. Why on the Friday after Corpus Christi? Well, the two feasts are connected in many ways. One of my favorite ways in which they're connected is that both these feast days remind us of things we would otherwise easily forget. Do I need to tell you that we could otherwise easily forget the truth of our Lord's presence in the Blessed Sacrament? Easily we'd forget that. It doesn't look like very much. Little white disc, little cup. We need to be reminded that it's the body and blood, soul and divinity of Christ. But here on the Friday following, you know, there's something else we need to be reminded of. The message of the Sacred Heart is that God loves you. And boy, do we forget that. Boy, do we forget that. And one of the most important ways we remember, it's by entering into Jesus' own suffering and sacrifice. Christ's heart is a wounded heart. It's a pierced heart. And if you want to know that heart, I'm sorry to say, your heart's got to be pierced too. A lot of people think that love should be easy. Why? Why do people think that love should be pleasant? Don't we have enough life experience to teach us that when you love somebody, it hurts? That it always hurts. You know, I've got a real simple little earthy example for you here. You know, this morning I took my car in to be fixed. There's no priests parked in the priest parking place out there, okay? Took my car in to be fixed. And it dawned upon me that we treat people the same way we treat our cars. When there's something wrong with your car, what do? You fix it, you replace it, or you ignore it. Something wrong with your car, you fix it. If you can't fix it, well, can you swap it out? If you can't swap it out, well, then I'll just live with it, right? The engine will rattle, and that's the way things are. We fix it, we replace it, or we ignore it. You know what's interesting? That's what we do with one another. If there's something wrong with you, I'm going to fix you. And if I can't fix you, then I'll replace you. Maybe I'll watch TV. Maybe I'll withdraw into myself. Maybe I'll turn on the computer. But I'll definitely replace you. And if I can't replace you, well, then I'll just ignore you. This is not love. This is not the heart of the Lord. This is not the way we enter into the knowledge of Christ. Our Lord's heart is a wounded heart. And we can't be afraid to know the wound as well, without which there's no love. And the only thing more painful than bearing the wounds of love is never knowing the meaning of the word in the first place. There's another way now that I'd like to share with you to know the heart of our Lord, and a way to enter into his wound, and that is through acts of reparation. You know, reparation is central to the Feast of the Sacred Heart. It was St. Margaret Mary Alacoque back in the 1700s who had a vision of our Lord who appeared to her in the convent of Paray-le-Monial and said, "Behold the heart that has loved mankind so much, has been so little loved in return," and asked her for acts of reparation. In heaven, the only thing you can do is praise God and thank him. But here on earth, you can actually console the heart of our Lord. Reparation for what? Well, when you consider that we prefer sin to God's love, here's God who created you out of nothing, gave you a mind to know him, and a heart to love him, and gave you eyes. You know, you look around, you see all the colors of the world. God didn't have to do that. He could have made it all in black and white. And he gave you ears to hear, and he gave you friends, and he gave you health, and he gave you skills, and he gave you talents. And after all that, yeah, we go and we prefer sin, and we trust the devil instead of trusting the Lord. Reparation is very important. Reparation for those who show our Lord no gratitude whatsoever. Reparation, I'm sorry to say, for clergy who are not preaching the gospel of Christ, but preaching a gospel that's in perfect lockstep with the values of this world, deeply wounding the heart of our Lord. Behold the heart which has loved mankind so much, and has been so little loved in return. What do they say? If you love me, show me, right? Love is always something that we make visible. Our Lord has made his love visible to us so many ways, and he's made it visible in his wounds, and he's asked us to make our love visible to him as well. So on this Feast of the Sacred Heart, let us strive to do so. May his heart have mercy on us, and may we, like St. Paul said to the Ephesians, know the love of Christ which surpasses all knowledge, and be filled with the fullness of God. Amen.